on today's episode.
One of my favorite sections of scripture when I think about things like pregnancy care centers is in Isaiah, where it talks about the idea that we bring good news to the poor, that we bind up the brokenhearted, that we bring freedom to the captives, release from darkness, and that we comfort those who mourn. And that way, no matter what decision a woman makes, no matter what her past is, we know that God is the solution. We know that God has a message for her. And so that's the fun thing about doing Bridge Ministry, is we get to bring that.
Welcome to the Life Challenges podcast from Christian Life Resources. People today face many opportunities and struggles when it comes to issues of life and death, marriage and family, health and science. We're here to bring a fresh biblical perspective to these issues and more. Join us now for Life Challenges.
Hi, and welcome back. I'm Krista Potratz, and I'm here today with Pastor Bob Fleischman, and we have a special guest with us today, too. Today, we have Rachel Greiner with us, and we're really excited to talk to Rachel today. Rachel has a really interesting background, and I actually have known Rachel for a while too. So just really excited about our conversation today. And one of the reasons too we really want to talk to Rachel is that she is a new staff member here at Christian Life Resources and is heading up a new division. And so we also want to just bring that information to all of our listeners too, so that you can get a picture of what's going on and what we're doing here and at Christian Life Resources too. So Rachel, welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here. I currently live in Greendale. I'm originally from Columbus, Ohio. Go Bucks. And people always talk about becoming your mom. And I think I probably did that to a greater degree than most people, because when I was very little, she actually started a pregnancy center. And so I have these memories of my brother, Josh. I have two brothers, Josh and Nate, but I remember Josh and I being on very rare occasions over at her pregnancy center, and it was next to a hair salon, and we didn't know exactly what went on there other than it was helping moms. So we always referred to it as the baby center. And then I got a little bit older, and I was around fifth grade when I actually found out what abortion was. And a lot of us have different experiences where it almost splits our life into two parts, where there's the before and after, and that could be the loss of a partner or something else. But for me, that was one of those moments that kind of changed everything. It changed how I viewed the world that I lived in. Up to that point, I had a certain idea of this is the world that I live in. And when I learned that I lived in a world where little babies were being killed, it changed everything. I'd always been real soft-hearted. I became vegetarian in kindergarten, and I always had a very strong sense of justice. So it wasn't surprising when I got a little bit older. I was in high school, and I remember being in the superintendent's office pitching this idea that we needed a pro-life event. I thought, we're Christians. This is going on. We've got to do something about this. We've got to talk about it. And we ended up collecting items, and my mom did a great presentation. And then I got to college. And so not surprisingly, I think it was my sophomore year, maybe, one day I just felt like, we're a Christian college. It's the greatest human rights issue of our time. Nobody's talking about it. This is crazy. And so I think that day or the next day, I decided, oh, I'll start a pro-life group or something like that. So while I was in college, I started that pro-life group, got an ed degree, got an art degree, got my teaching license. And at one point, I was interviewed on a radio show. So that kind of got me on the radar of an organization or two. And so when I finished teaching, student teaching, I was actually offered a job living on the road starting College for Life groups. And I look back and I think that is a perfect job for someone who wants to make a difference, who's 22. Because if you tried to get me to do it now, you could offer me some serious money. And like, I love to travel. I like clothes more than I should. I love to eat more than I should. So I could have a lot of fun with $1 million, but even that would not convince me to do that job again. And so I did that for a while. And while I was living on the road, I didn't really know anyone. I was in regions that I was real unfamiliar with. And so in my free time, I would volunteer. And so I volunteered with a pro-life campaign. And at the end of that, they offered me a job. And so then I ended up working with something called Truth for Youth. A lot of times people will talk about how sexual risk avoidance, also known as abstinence, is just not effective. But we know intuitively that it works. We know that God's ways always work. And so years ago, people used to say, well, if it's effective, where's the research to back it up? And so I will never cease to find this ironic, but during Clinton's presidency, actually, is when federal funding started with something called CBAE, which meant Community-Based Abstinence Education. And so I was involved with a program where we were seeing maybe 10,000 kids a year, and we were in all public schools, and we were talking about healthy relationships, avoiding STDs, and other high-risk behaviors. I had a little experience working for Option Line, which is a national pregnancy helpline. So back then, we were doing maybe 40 calls an hour. We had a mix of calls. So it could be anything from a young teenager, or it might be someone dealing with the effects of a past abortion. Or more often than not, it was someone who either was pregnant or afraid they might be pregnant and looking for next steps, whether that would be an abortion or something like that. And so our job was to be present, to offer them support. We didn't judge anyone. And ideally, we'd get them connected with a pregnancy center in their area because they were going to be able to offer a level of support that someone on the phone just can't. So following that, I worked at a local pregnancy center here in Wisconsin for over a decade. I got to work with amazing people and oversee our volunteers and work with a lot of clients. And then I also started, got to use that ed degree. So I started a youth development program where I spoke to probably several thousand kids last year talking about healthy relationships and things like that.
And was that in public schools or private or both?
So that was exclusively in private schools. So when that first started, that was definitely a shift. But it was easier in a number of ways, including I got to use the power of God's word. And when you get to show that motivation, there's nothing like it. Mm-hmm. To the point where it is vital that we have Christians in public schools, that we have positive people equipping kids in public schools. But man, was it easier to be in a Christian school where I could talk about Jesus?
You've done a lot of really interesting things over the years, and especially when I kind of talk about your time at the pregnancy center, too. What do you think are some of the misconceptions that people have with pregnancy centers? I mean, you probably have heard a bunch of things over the years.
I think one of the biggest ones would be that they don't exist. I think there's a huge lack of awareness. And it's not surprising when you think about the fact that they're generally manned largely by volunteers. They give out all of their services for free, so you don't really have an income stream, per se. And so that would be the biggest thing. There's actually estimated to be about 3,000 pregnancy centers here in the U.S. They are seeing probably better part of 1 million new clients a year from what I've heard. And it's actually a value of about $360 million, just under that is the estimate of the value that's being offered by these pregnancy centers.
Is that like in terms of, I guess, like services they give, materials they give?
Exactly. A combination of those different things. I think another common misunderstanding is that the services are very limited. And that is just not true. In some ways, we're a newer movement as a pro-life movement. And at the same time, there's been a lot of change over the last 40, 50 years. As the movement has grown, it's gotten a lot more professional. And they did amazing things when they started. I mean, we're talking trailblazers with no foundation to build on. All of us who've been working in the movement more recently, we get to build upon the experience, the trials of those who started pregnancy centers many, many years ago. But nowadays, there really is a spectrum of services that can be offered. You have some centers on one end that are offering things like prenatal care, high-level medical services to very, very vulnerable populations. We also have centers that are filling another gap. Maybe it's a center where they have a huge refugee population with limited access to certain social services, and maybe they have government benefits that are helping with a lot of those needs as they adjust, but diapers sometimes don't fall under those. And so in that case, these diapers can be a great bridge for support. Because the truth is, if I don't know somebody, they might say, hey, I'm here for you. And I might think that is lovely. But if I've been burned the way a lot of people who visit LAF centers and us, mm-hmm. all of us listening and talking, have experienced, talk is cheap. And so if I don't know you, one of the best things you can do to bridge the gap, to bridge that relationship, is going to be to give me concrete expressions of your love and support. And so that really can mean everything from a pregnancy test to an ultrasound to diapers and wipes. And that's what we see with these pregnancy centers. The idea of someone slowing down and giving you their time and their focus, I think, is more and more rare. And at a pregnancy center, you have someone whose philosophy that they put into action is the idea that every single person is of incredible value. And so this is a safe place where someone's not going to bring up their past, where someone's not going to judge them, and is going to walk with them through whatever they're dealing with. And there's a whole range of experiences that bring people to pregnancy centers.
When you talk about the diapers and everything too, because one of the things that they say a lot, or a lot of people say, is, you know, oh, you don't care about the mother, the baby after they're born. You know, all you want is the baby. And it's like, well, you know, yeah, I mean, that's important. We don't want a child to die. But we do care about the child, and we care about the mother, and we care about the life as well.
And when I think about the people I know, and I'm blessed to know a lot of people, maybe it's because I'm not real shy, but I know a lot of people. And the truth is, those that I know that do the most for families, especially families with little ones, are those who are passionately pro-life. A lot of these pregnancy clinics offer things like parenting classes and resources because they want the whole family to thrive. Another misconception can be that we only care, again, about that decision. What decision they make? Is it a decision for life? Do they choose something different? The impression might be that if they, for example, choose to have an abortion, that all of a sudden our relationship with them, our support, our love disappears. And that could not be further from the truth. I think about different people that I've worked with over the years who have had an abortion. And there were follow-up conversations. They knew that whatever they decided, I was going to be there for them. And I think that often goes back to the fact that a lot of us involved in this work are Christians. And so we're aware of how Jesus has modeled that unconditional love. And so if you're going to be any good at ministry, I think you have to have a little self-awareness and realize that we are all broken, that we all are unlovable at times. And if you know that, it's going to change your relationships with everybody else, because it's no longer going to be this thing about, oh, I'm going to fix this person, or, oh, they need me because they don't have it together as much as me. There is no room for that. God does not bless that. I don't believe God uses that.
Work in the pro-life arena over the years, and I've had the opportunity of seeing passion, people very passionate about it. I've had the opportunity of seeing people very knowledgeable. And I've seen people very regimented and kind of dogmatic about how to do things. And when Rachel and I reconnected, and because I know her parents, so I am one of those who's known Rachel since she was like first grade, second grade, something like that, when she used to help her mother out. But she brings to the table kind of like tempered realism, tempered passion. In other words, I'm just listening to what you're saying. She has not said anything that surprises me. I mean, this is exactly the Rachel I've known for years. But the one thing that you say that has to surprise other people is the comment about, so what happens when you have a resident or a client that has an abortion? Well, you know, and of course, the media and of course, the people who are contrary to us like to paint a picture like we're so single-minded that we don't care about them or anything. And nothing is further from the truth. And, you know, we operate a home for mothers in which, you know, abortion's been part of their past often. We see it in the centers and so forth. And Rachel's illustrating the point that is so critical and central to what we do, because we kind of all walk around with the plank in our eye. You know, we aren't looking to be self-righteously looking down our nose at other people. And this is the immense value she brings to this ministry in general.
I definitely want to jump into the ministry that's going on now at Christian Life Resources. I know just in my knowledge, too, of what's going on and everything, too, over the years, we have operated or partnered with many pregnancy centers across the country, and I think also in other countries, too. Wasn't there Ukraine?
Oh, yeah.
Or somebody?
Yeah, we had done work in Ukraine and Bulgaria.
Yeah, I knew I wasn't just making that up in the past. And so we maybe don't talk about that a whole lot on the podcast, to the different pregnancy centers and affiliates and things kind of being done. And I think that is part of what this new ministry at Christian Life Resources is.
So I've seen all sorts of different things happen and change and so forth. And one of the things I came to realize is that the work of the Christian is always to be the same, and that is to share Christ and live Christ. In other words, we're always looking for an opportunity to try to talk to people about Jesus and to talk to them about the relationship that lasts forever. I began to, a few years back, start talking about what we do at CLR is bridge ministry. We're always looking for bridges. And the way I say it in presentations is, you know, all of life, you're either building a bridge or you're building a wall. You could stand so ideologically perfect on the abortion issue that you create this wall between you and the people who need to hear the message of Jesus. And so we try to focus on creating this bridge of relationship with people. So when Rachel says that, you know, one of the surprises is that if a woman has an abortion, we're still there for her. We're still walk with her. We still, you know, want to hold her, help her, care for her, those kinds of things. Why? Because the relationship is to tell them about Jesus and let them start to sort things out as time goes on. And so when Rachel and I began talking about where we're going from this point forward, it just is like this natural thing to occur, to have her come on. And so she heads up this division on Bridge Ministries. And the beauty is I didn't have to spend a whole lot of time sharing with her my vision for it, because as she's telling me her vision, it's the same thing. We're on the same page. So she could tell you kind of what she was thinking of.
Yeah.
As he said, the goal really is Bridge Ministries and creating those connections. And I think we both realize that there is a lot of untapped potential and a lot of unmet needs, even just within our congregations. And so for a while, I've noticed certain gaps in the church stepping up, and now we have the opportunity to do something about that. And so my number one priority is certainly to support our affiliates, because they are doing incredible work. My mom's pregnancy center, she's still running it, never been paid a dime. I'm sure it costs them plenty to run it. Is serving a huge population, often in low-income situations, and often who don't have a relationship with the church. And they are offering support and love and material assistance, someone who will pray for them, and they're giving out Bibles left and right. And it's not that they're forcing it or anything like that. People are asking for Bibles. Now, I go to church pretty regularly. I'm going to be at church tonight. I was there on Sunday morning. I don't often see people walking into our churches saying, please give me a Bible. I think that's a really big deal. And we're seeing it at all of our affiliates. And so helping to support them, there's also an efficiency piece, because the truth is we have a number of affiliates that we get to partner with, and they may not have the capacity to bring on someone like me to their staff. But a lot of them have similar needs, similar resources can be helpful to them. And so this allows us to give that to them. Also, we were talking about misconceptions. And I think a common misconception is that abortions aren't happening among the people of the church. And we see research after research that backs it up. For example, according to a lot of polling, about 70% of those who have an abortion identify as Christian, which matches other large research projects about what percent of the American population identifies Christian. And some people will say, yeah, but what does that mean? So then we look at things like the Lifeway study that was done a while back. It's pretty well known, at least in our circles. And it found that close to about 4 in 10 of those who have an abortion were a monthly church attendee at the time. Which means this isn't a them problem. This is us. This is people in our family. This is our best friends. Maybe this is a part of us. Speaking of which, I can't believe I made it this far without already mentioning, if involvement in an abortion is a part of your story, it doesn't have to haunt you the rest of your life. It isn't bigger than God's forgiveness. There is tons of support, tons of resources that I would love to connect you with. In the show notes, you're going to find a number of links, and one of them will be to help you with that. Some of my favorite people in the world, some of the most amazing people I know, have an abortion as part of their story. But the fact that I've had conversation after conversation with women who were going to church and not hearing anything about this issue, who didn't find out until they were dealing with the after effects of the abortion about it in their church, that's a problem. And so we have to do better. And so that can be miscarriage support groups. That can be virtual post-abortion support, which again can be a game changer. I've seen what it does in the life of women I know. I talked about how when I learned about abortion, it kind of like was a before and after experience for me. And I've seen that with women when it comes to post-abortion healing. When they are able to really cling to that forgiveness that we all need and really be able to move past. And it's great because we know God loves to take what Satan intended for evil and turn it to good. And I've seen woman and man after woman and man use their abortion experience to share how God has been there for them and use it to bring peace to others and to bring people to faith. So that's another piece that I'm excited for us to work on. Generally, you speak a lot more boldly about things that you know. And the truth is, we all feel more confident talking about something we're familiar with. So that could be college football, or it could be fishing. I would be no help with that. It could be our favorite show. If you're obsessed with The Office, you could probably talk about it for days on end. And no one would even have to be in the conversation. Like, you'll be good by yourself. I think a lot of people are very passionate about life issues, but they haven't been given the vocabulary to talk about it in a way that creates conversation instead of shutting it down. And so I think there's also the opportunity for us to really equip people with information so they have better conversations about this, and also have a way to kind of channel their energy, channel their passion. So if they do see a news headline about drugstores helping with abortion or something like that, they feel like they have something that they can do about it. Something tangible, something easy. And so we get to share that with them.
That's actually kind of like where we start from. We're starting there. We're looking at strengthening what we're doing in their current affiliates. We're looking to plant more affiliates, but we're also trying to help just the individual. That's another thing we get when I've traveled over the last few decades. Yeah, I'll get into a church and I'll be preaching for a Life Sunday. And then people come up to me and they'll say, I'd like to do something, but we don't have the strength of congregations around us to start our own center or something like that. Well, there's a ton of stuff to do, and that's exactly Rachel's area. She'll be working in that.
So what is then the type of support needed from people and congregations kind of moving forward?
I can enjoy oftentimes history, especially when it's not a class and there's no grade or anything like that involved. And I love when I get to hear about how outsiders describe the early Christian church. I love hearing about, in a time when babies were often abandoned, infanticide was very popular, the Christian church decided to do something about it. They proactively and sacrificially stepped in and changed the whole dynamic. They changed the attitudes about the unborn. And then we fast forward to other human rights issues. We think of Wilberforce. And we think of how his faith was a huge catalyst for him being arguably the leader when it came to abolishing the slave trade that England was involved with and things like that. And so I think the church has the opportunity to lean into that heritage. And instead of being the last place people want to go with unplanned pregnancy, they can be the first place. But that's only going to happen if we start communicating that we are here for you. We will walk with you. You don't have to worry about judgment. Because the truth is, a baby is always a blessing. An unplanned pregnancy is always a blessing. Regardless of the conditions around the pregnancy, a baby itself is always a good thing. God's never surprised. Every life exists because God decided that was exactly when that person needed to exist. And so that can be prayers for pro-life ministry. That can be offerings, because we know in order to do good, we need funds. It's just the reality. It could be the starting of an affiliate. It could be a parenting class open to the community. It could be having someone like me come in and do a pro-life talk. I'm going to be at a youth center on Friday, and we're going to talk about unplanned pregnancy. We're going to do an activity where we do notes of encouragement for local single moms. Next week, I'll get to do a pro-life talk at a school because they are doing a mission offering for us. So that's a great way. Having events to help educate people. There really is a myriad of ideas. And I would love to discuss that with anyone who's willing.
Yes, yes. I mean, I think that is such a great point, too, that any of our listeners can always reach out to us, and we can put you in touch with Rachel and Bob and anybody here to get things like that going.
Well, you know, one of the things that is a problem when you listen to a show like this is you hear passion.
There's no problems.
There's no problem, right? But you hear, I mean, you hear passion, you hear ideas and so forth, and people sometimes are inclined to go, oh, I really agree, but it's not me and I can't do that. But the reality is this, and that is that we don't look for everyone to be a Bob or a Rachel. If the Christian community recognizes that we're not talking about volunteer recruitment, we're talking about doing what we're all called to do. We are all called to do something, but we aren't always feeling equipped to do it. We don't know how. We don't know where to start. Please don't ask me to public speak. Please don't ask me to do this or do that because of my time schedule, whatever it is. We get it. We've been dealing with this, you know, for a number of years. And so everybody's at a different spot in their life. But the point is that we are called upon to speak up for those who can't speak for themselves. We are called upon to spread the message of Jesus. We are called upon to love as Christ loved us. Those are all things we're called upon, and what we're suggesting is that through what we're doing here at Christian Life Resources is we are doing that. We're doing it within the realm of life issues, and it's sometimes as simple as sending an email or making a phone call and saying, I want to do something, and I don't know where to start. Actually, Krista, you're a perfect example of that. You know, I still remember that summer that you called and you said, boy, you got a lot of great stuff on your website. You really ought to be doing something to get it out there more. And of course, all I heard was she was going to make more work for me. That's what I thought was coming my way. But instead, you know, she wanted to do something, and you know, you didn't come with any experience in podcasting or
no.
I mean, we had to do a little research and so forth. But we found a forum that worked. And the thing is we want to do that with everybody. We want to see if we can find something that works for you in your community, something that you can do.
Yeah. And, you know, when you were talking to about the affiliates, how many affiliates are there? And are they Wells-based pregnancy centers? I mean, is that kind of what we're talking about here?
So we have about 10 affiliates, and they are throughout the country. We have one in Arizona. We have one in Minnesota. We have a number of them in Wisconsin. We have one in Illinois. My mom's in Ohio. And then three actually in Michigan.
Okay. All right. Well, good. That's great to know. Yeah. You know, because if people are listening to this in an area that you haven't mentioned, there's opportunity.
Yeah, and there was a time, you know, in the early years, you know, there was a time when people wanted to do something. They wanted to get started. They didn't know where to start. They didn't know what to do. Rachel is the resource on staff, you know, when somebody says, I want to start a center, I want to do something. And, you know, and what does a center mean? Well, to show you the kind of ministry, first of all, through CLR, we operate a home for mothers, a home for single mothers. We operate pregnancy care centers around the United States. There are centers out there that we don't operate, but there are other centers that integrate a stronger medical component. They're literally a prenatal clinic. And I remember visiting one in Colorado that I was very interested in and would like to see us maybe go that direction. But then some people say, well, the best that we can do is, you know, maybe we can do a English as a second language bridge ministry to bring in disadvantaged families and begin to teach them English, and then in the process, talk about Jesus. Maybe we can provide like a little bit of a thrift store for them or something that helped them. You know, we're just looking for bridges in the area of life and family issues to help them learn about Jesus.
Well, this has been a great conversation. Maybe kind of close too with you, Rachel. When we talk about the life challenges and everything too, we always want to bring it back to God's word. And just wondering too, if there's any scripture verses or biblical truths that you really hang on to or have encouraged you in this line of work.
It honestly depends on the day. I've always been partial to Proverbs 31:8, the idea of speaking up for those who can't speak for themselves. Last night, I was walking back to my place. We have a little fitness center. Lightning was just going crazy. The sky kept lighting up again and again. And it did make me think of in John 1:5, where it talks about how the light shines and the darkness cannot overcome it. It cannot overwhelm it. And I feel like if we are sensitive to life issues, if we are paying attention to what's going on, it can feel so, so dark. And if it were dependent on us to fix, I could see that being overwhelming. But because we know we worship a very big God, bigger than that lightning was, we know that he can overcome that. We know that there's no situation, I like to say, where God says, oh, I did not see that coming. And I take a lot of comfort in that because I feel like I'm often surprised by situations that come up in life. One of my favorite sections of scripture when I think about things like pregnancy care centers is in Isaiah, where it talks about the idea that we bring good news to the poor, that we bind up the brokenhearted, that we bring freedom to the captives, release from darkness, and that we comfort those who mourn. And that way, no matter what decision a woman makes, no matter what her past is, we know that God is the solution. We know that God has a message for her. And so that's the fun thing about doing bridge ministry, is we get to bring that.
Well, thank you so much, Rachel, for joining us today and for sharing with us. We really appreciate it. And we thank all of our listeners, too, for listening today. And if you have any questions at all or want to reach out, you can find us at ChristianLifeResources.com. And you can also reach out to us at the podcast, to lifechallenges.us. We look forward to having you back next time. And thanks so much. Bye.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Life Challenges podcast from Christian Life Resources. Please consider subscribing to this podcast, giving us a review wherever you access it, and sharing it with friends. We're sure you have questions on today's topic or other life issues. Our goal is to help you through these tough topics, and we want you to know we're here to help. You can submit your questions as well as comments or suggestions for future episodes at lifechallenges.us or email us at podcast@christianliferesources.com. In addition to the podcasts, we include other valuable information at lifechallenges.us, so be sure to check it out. For more about our parent organization, please visit christianliferesources.com. May God give you wisdom, love, strength, and peace in Christ for every life challenge.